Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Rosh Hashanah Daf Chof Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the Mishnah that you'll find at the upper part of Daf Chof Beis, four lines from the top. Before we begin the actual text, let us glance at the side where we have a nosei, a topic heading, where we've written Ha'im Kroivim Ksherim Lohed Edus HaChodesh. Can relatives serve as a pair of witnesses in order to testify about the sighting of the new lunar cycle? This will be a machloikis tanoim. In general, one should know that testimony that you find in all other areas of halacha, for example, monetary matters or criminal offenses, you need to have a minimum of two witnesses that are not related to each other. There are actually more details than that, but for our purposes, let's stick to the issue of the pair of witnesses that are necessary. They are, in general, not allowed, they're not acceptable if they are related to one another. Even if they're both very pious, they're as pious as Moshe and Aaron, they cannot serve as witnesses for matters that require testimony. However, we're now discussing a special type of witnessing, that is, the witnesses that testify about the sighting of the new moon. Let us now turn to the Mishnah. Av uvnoi shero esachodesh yelchu. Father and son that saw the new lunar phase, they should go. Lo shemitzdarfim zeimzeh. Not that they join with one another to constitute a pair of witnesses. Elo. Rather, shem yifsal echad mehen. If one of them, the father or the son, is found to be unfit, leaving one of them still kosher, yitzdarif hasheni im acher. So he'll be able to join up with someone else who may have seen the new lunar phase. Reb Shimon Oimer, a second opinion on this topic, Av uvnoi v'chol ha-kroivim k'sherim li'edus ha-chodesh. And you can see Reb Shimon disagrees with the Tanakam, and he says that a father and son are themselves an acceptable, a legitimate pair of witnesses. Om Reb Yossi, Maise betuvya ha-roife, shero es ha-chodesh b'Yerushalayim hu uvnoi v'avdoi m'shuchor. Reb Yossi tells us an incident involving the doctor by the name of Tuvia, who, along with his son and a freed slave is a person that had been an Eved Kanani. When he's freed, he becomes Jewish. So he becomes a full-fledged Jew. So you have three people, father, son, and freed slave, that saw the Molad Halavona, the new lunar phase. The Kohanim that were in Yerushalayim accepted the testimony of the father and son and did not accept the freed slave. And this is really of more halachic significance. When they came to the actual court, the court is where the declaration of a new month is established. So kiblu oisav es avdoi upaslu es beno. So according to Rabbi Yossi, and the story that he's telling us is that father and son would not be acceptable. So you have Rabbi Yossi, patterning himself after the opinion of the Tanakama. Omar Rabbi Levi, my time with Rabbi Shimon. What is the basis of Reb Shimon that allows relatives to serve together as witnesses. Dichtiv, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe v'al Aaron be'eretz Mitzrayim le'mor, HaChodesh hazeh lochem. So this pasuk is a pasuk dealing with establishing of months. And the Almighty addresses Moshe and Aaron, and he says, HaChodesh hazeh lochem, Eduzu, this witnessing, this testimony, Tehei k'sheira bochem, is acceptable through you. And he's talking to Moshe and Aaron that you too, you are brothers. You will be acceptable in testifying about the sighting of the new lunar phase, which thereby establishes the new month. Ve'rabbonan, the Rabbonan who disagree with Reb Shimon, what do they do with this pasuk? Eduzu tehei Mesura Lachem. And here we need Rashi. Rashi we're looking at is on the fourth line from the top of the page. Tehe Mesura Lachem L'chashuvei Hador Ani Moser Shikablu Edus V'kachu Achidish V'lo Lahach Shir Kroivim Ba. This testimony is given over to the leaders of the generation. In other words, the leaders of the generation, the Sanhedrin, the high court, if you will, they are the ones to accept the testimony concerning the new moon, but not that you are the ones to testify. Moshe and Aaron represented the important members of the generation. They represented the Chashuvei Hador, the important ones, the leaders. But not that they would testify together concerning the sighting of the new lunar phase. Omar Biosi, Maise Betuvi Horoife Vechule. Omar Rav Chonon Bar Rava. Hilchisa Rabbi Shimon. Rav Chonon rules like Rabbi Shimon. Now, at first glance, it would appear that Rav Chonon is accepting brothers to serve as a pair of witnesses. Amalei Rav Huna, Rav Chonon bar Rava. Rav Huna turns to Rav Chonon in amazement, and he says, "Rabbi Yosi, umaise v'ad amris hilchisok Rabbi Shimon. What are you? You've got an hour Mishnah, Rabbi Yosi, and the incident that he reported, which indicates that brothers would be unfit, relatives are unfit." And you choose to rule like Rabbi Shimon, allowing, we think that means allowing relatives to serve together as witnesses? Omar Loi, Rav Chonon responds, V'ha zimnin sagin amris kamei de Rav. On many occasions I said, in the presence of Rav, where I said to Rav, Hilchisok Rabbi Shimon, V'lo omar li v'lo midi, and Rav didn't object. Amalei, Rav Huna investigates a little more. He says, Hefi Tonis, what is your version of the Mishnah? In other words, in our Mishnah we see Rabbi Shimon, we see Rabbi Yosi, someone is machshir relatives, someone allows relatives, someone does not allow relatives. What is your version of the names and the opinions? Amalei, so Rav Chonon answers Rav Huna. He says, Ipcha, my version is that Rabbi Shimon passels and Rabbi Yosi is machshir. Omar lei, Rav Huna says, Mishum achi, lo omar lo falo midi. That's why Rav didn't say anything to you. The goal, the bottom line in terms of how to rule on this matter is to passel relatives. If you had as your version Rabbi Shimon holding pasul, so that's why Rav kept quiet, because you ruled like someone who you thought to say pasul. Omar tovi brei demori tovi, Omar mar ukva, Omar Shmuel. Now here we have a we call it a girsa problem, but it's easier for us to read the insert here. Ein Hilchasuk Rabbi Shimon. Assuming that Rabbi Shimon is as our Mishnah has its version, where relatives are acceptable, so Shmuel is ruling not to follow that, well, that leniency, not to follow a ruling that would allow two brothers or two relatives to serve as new moon witnesses. Eluhain Hapsulin. The way we've marked the Gemara is my thinking on this matter was that in the Mishnah before, reference was made to a father and son being advised to show up, even though they wouldn't be accepted, because if one of them is rendered unfit. So the term above was Yifsal, Shim Yifsal Echod Mehen. So it's my thinking that this Mishnah is a continuation of that point, and it says Eluhain Hapsulin. The following is a list of those that would be unacceptable. And on the side of the Gemara we have as our topic heading Rishimas Hapsulin Liedus, a list of those that are unfit to testify. And Rashi adds that most of these are people that are unfit on a rabbinic level. There is a reference to avodim, to slaves. They would be unfit on a Torah level. But for the meantime, this is a list of those that are unacceptable to serve as witnesses. Eluhain Hapsulin. The first three could be grouped into one category that we might refer to as forms of gambling. Hamesachik Bekuvya. Rashi describes what this is. It's a type of game at which money is betted. Umalve beribis. Actually, this is not an example of gambling, but malve beribis are people that loan for interest. Now, Rashi points out that even though taking interest is something forbidden from the Torah, nevertheless, as far as acceptance, as being acceptable as a witness, the Torah says that a person who was a thief is not allowed to be a witness. And the svara behind that is that if someone is willing to steal money, so he can't be relied upon for telling the truth. As far as that's concerned, when it comes to a din d'oraisa, you don't really have to give a reason. The Torah simply says that an actual thief is forbidden. These are not actual thieves. In the case of someone who takes interest, the borrower is willingly paying the interest. It might be forbidden to do that, but it's not an act of thievery. So from the Torah's standpoint, a gambler, a loan shark, Mafriche Yoinim, these are like Masachik Bekuvya, they're people that engage in bird races for money. Vesochare Shvias, people that conduct commerce with Shemitah produce. Shemitah produce, the Torah says, is La'ochla, is for you to eat. And we infer, eat, yes, doing business, sales, commerce, no. Yet, you have these people that are Sochare Shvias. Avodim, slaves, these are all psulim. They're unfit to serve as witnesses. Ze haklal, the following is a rule. Kol edus, she'ein ha'isha k'sherola, that a woman would not be acceptable for. Af hein einon k'sherin la. So too, the people in this list would not be acceptable. We can infer from the Mishnah, ha isha k'shera la, if you're in a realm of testimony that women are allowed, are accepted for their testimony, af hein k'sherin la, so too the people in this list of the psulim would be acceptable. Now, we have to point out something here. When we speak about a woman being accepted or not accepted, you have to realize that in standard testimony, the Torah itself says, "Al pi shnayim edim o shlosh edim yokum davar," and there are gzeros hakosuvs that govern these matters, whereby a witness must be a male and not a female. That is a Torah ruling. Why? So that is something that the Almighty knows. As far as we are concerned, it's a gzeiras hakosev. To say that women would lie and therefore they're not acceptable, far be that from the truth. Who says? The Torah likewise forbids Moshe and Aaron to be witnesses together, and no one's going to suspect them of not telling the truth. It's a gzeiras hakosev. It's the will of the Almighty. So that's true as far as women being unfit for many areas of testimony. However, there are areas that women are accepted. And the Gemara is saying that those areas where women are accepted, so the psulim mentioned above will also be accepted. Omar Rav Ashi, Zo Somer, so Rav Ashi concludes from this that Gazlon de Divrayim, that means a thief of a rabbinic nature. That means Midoraisa, from a Torah level, he's not considered a thief, but the Rabbonan don't accept his methods of gaining money, so he's called a Gazlon de Divrayim, like the people we mentioned in the Mishnah. Those kinds of people are Ksherim li'edus isha. Don't mistranslate edus isha. Edus isha is a realm of testimony whereby a woman who was married, but her husband disappeared, and witnesses come to tell us that they saw him dead, enabling her to now remarry. That information of his death is called Edus Isha. Edus for the benefit of the woman, the wife, the widow that survives. Information concerning a man's death, thereby enabling the woman to remarry, is called Edus Isha. Women are allowed to testify about that, and our Gemara is pointing out that Gazlon de Divrayim, rabbinic level thieves, are also acceptable for that information. We now have an unusual occurrence in the Shas where we have a Mishnah, and you can see there is no Gemara on this Mishnah. Mi shera es hachodesh v'eino yochol lahaloich, a person who witnessed the new lunar phase, but he has difficulty walking, he can't walk. Moilichin oisoi ala chamor, we will set him upon a donkey, even on Shabbos, which riding animals on Shabbos is something that's not acceptable, yet we will allow that to happen for the purpose of his getting to the court to testify about his sighting. Afilu b'mito, even if it's necessary to carry him on a stretcher. V'im tsuda lohem, and if the road is dangerous, there are people that are lying in ambush, and going unarmed would be dangerous. Loichim biyodan maklois, they're entitled to carry with them clubs. V'im hoisa derech ruchoika, and if it's a very long journey, and it's you're going to have to travel on Shabbos, a long journey, loichim biyodam mezoinus, they're allowed to carry with them food. Sha'al malach laylo v'yoyim mechalin es ha-Shabbos v'yoytzin li'edus ha-chodesh. For a journey that would take a day and a night, we'll allow you to violate Shabbos for the purpose of testifying about the sighting of the new moon. Shenemar eile moyadei Hashem asher tikru'u oisom v'moyadom. These are the holidays that must be declared to enable you to observe them on their right time. So that if the witnesses saw the new lunar phase, and that information has direct bearing on when the holidays would come out, so they have to go to all means in order to make sure that the information is communicated to base, and even if it involves Shabbos violation. As you can see, with this we conclude the first perek of the Masichtas, of kind of an unusual situation We have a one perek lasting more than half of the Masechta. You have the first perek of Masechta Kiddushin, which is basically one half of the Masechta, but here, this first perek of Rosh Hashanah goes all the way till Daf Chof Beis. Out of Chof Beis is essentially, you can call it the 22 out of 35, which is quite a bit more than half. We continue now with the beginning of the second perek, and we continue with the issue of witnesses that see the new lunar phase. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Noseya topic heading, Birur Aminus Ho'ed Shel Eidus HaChodesh. We're going to be talking about the trustworthiness, the reliability, the honesty of checking out, the honesty of a witness who's going to serve as one of the witnesses for the Eidus HaChodesh, the new month. Under the Mivneh heading, we feature a few markings. We have a bow tie, a double underline, and a dashed underline. Matras Simunim Elu, we've written, the purpose of these markings is Litzor Kesher Bein Mishnah Zu V'Habo'ah, the Omud Beis. You'll notice in this Mishnah, mention is made of Borishona, what used to be, and then it says Mishakilkula Baitusim, you see that double underline? The Baitusim, they messed things up for us, and Hiskinu, and as a result of that, a new approach had to be established. If you just keep your one finger on this Mishnah, so to speak, and go to Omid Beis, the lower part of Omid Beis, there's another Mishnah, and you see again, Borishona, there was a practice that used to be, and then Mishakilkul HaKusim, the Kusim came and messed things up for us, Hiskinu, so a new practice had to be invoked. So we'll see what these are as we go through the actual Mishnayos, but it's noteworthy that in the attempts to observe traditional halacha, traditional practices, there have always been those called splinter groups or break-off groups, those who break off from, we'll call it Shulchan Aruch Judaism, from formal traditional Judaism, and not only do they break off, but they then try to mess things up for those that want to adhere to tradition. So what we see nowadays with many types of, we'll call them deviant groups, those that try to change formal halacha as is dictated by Shulchan Aruch, is not a new phenomenon. It's been part of the Jewish people ever since the departure from Mitzrayim. But one thing that must be emphasized is that all of those groups, they like the waves of the sea, they rise and fall, and the tradition, though, remains intact till this very day. So if you want to join the group that has staying power, and certainly has a historical proof to that effect, so one should stick with the tradition and not try to break with it. For one, of course, in Judaism we have something called Bechira Chofshis, there's free will if you want to break with it, but you should realize that once one breaks from traditional Judaism, there's basically no chance of his descendants, if they continue in their father's ways, of being part of the Jewish people. History is absolute proof to that effect. So now we continue with the Mishnah. Him Einon Makirin Oisoi. If the court doesn't recognize, know this witness as being trustworthy and kosher, Mishalchin Imoi Acher Lahaido. The court in his town will send along with him someone to testify. We can call him a character witness, possibly, so that the if you have a situation where you have, we'll call an unknown quantity, is going to arrive in the court in Yerushalayim to testify about the new moon, And it's known that this witness isn't known. The court in Jerusalem doesn't know who he is. So we'll send someone along with him to vouch for his honesty. Borishona hayu mekablim edus achodesh mikol adam. At first, it seems that that wasn't a concern. Anyone who came to testify in Yerushalayim, we saw the new moon, we would accept them. People had, we call it cheskas kashrus. They had a status of being acceptable. Misha kilkulu habaitusim. However, when the baitusim came along and messed things up for us, and there will be more discussion about what they tried to do, what their interest was in messing things up. So, hiskinu shalyu mekablim elo minamakirin. They established that we won't accept testimony other than from those that we know to be trustworthy, that we rakirously recognize, we know to be trustworthy. The Gemara asks, my acher, in the Mishnah, reference was made to our sending acher to serve as a character witness. The word acher, in terms of numbers of people, sounds like chad, one. So now the Gemara asks at the top of Omid Beis, and we start now a discussion, a back and forth type discussion, which we highlight with our triangle markings. On the side you can see a mivneh. The triangle is presented here as a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a back and forth discussion. The point facing up are kushos, represent questions, and the inverted triangle tshuvos, responses. Be'inyin mispar ho'edim hadrushim lo'id al aminus ho'ed. This discussion revolves around how many witnesses are necessary to serve as character witnesses for our lunar seder. So the Gemara asks, v'chad mi mehemon, is one sufficient? Is one witness acceptable? V'hotanya, we have a Tanaic source as Maise Sheba Hu V'edov Imo Lehoidalov. It was an incident where a witness came that had seen the new lunar phase. He came to the court together with witnesses in the plural. The Edov Imo, these are the character witnesses, to testify about his trustworthiness, his honesty. So, how do we make sense of this? The Mishnah indicated one character witness is enough, and this Brisa says no, you have to have two. Omar Rav Papa, my acher. The Mishnah's reference to acher really means zug acher, a pair of witnesses. So that the Mishnah is saying the same thing as this Brisa, that you have to have a minimum of two witnesses to serve as the character witnesses for your lunar witness. Hachi Nami Misab. Take note, by the way, that this is a long answer. The Gemara says, and Hachi Nami Misab, and this is also likely to be the case, that the word acher means a pair of witnesses. De'i lo tema hachi, if you don't accept this understanding of that word, im einon makirin oisoi. In our Mishnah, we saw this phrase, and it said, if they don't recognize him, my oisoi. What does that word mean? It also is in the singular. Ilema oisoi chad. If you're going to think that oisoi means one, they don't recognize him, the one witness, the lunar witness. The chad mi mehemon, is one witness acceptable for edus hachodesh? Mishpat ksiv bei. The Torah, in this case in Sefer Tehillim, quotes a pasuk which is a reference to Rosh Chodesh, and it calls the establishment of a new month, it calls it Mishpat. Mishpat means legal matters. And legal matters, we know, as we said earlier, necessitates a minimum of two witnesses. Elamai oisoi. So then what does the Mishnah mean when it says, im einon makirin oisoi? Oisoi hazug also means the pair, if they don't know the pair of witnesses. Hochinami, so by the same token, my acher, zug acher, another pair of witnesses. So, with that having been said, we've strengthened the point that the character witnesses have to be, in fact, witnesses in the plural, two character witnesses, in order for their testimony to be acceptable, just like the lunar witnesses must be two witnesses. And any reference to the witnesses in the singular, like the word acher or the word oisoi, which grammatically are in the singular, it means the pair, a singular pair. Question. V'chad lo mehemon, is one not believed? V'hotanya, we have the following Tanaic source. Ma'isav Rabbi Yonohi Roi, Shaholach Eitzel Ho'eid, Lahoid Olov B'Shabbos B'Usha. This source tells us that Rabbi Nohoroi went to the lunar witness in Usha. Usha was a town where the Sanhedrin sat in session, and it was a Shabbos, and Rabbi Nohoroi served as a character witness for the witness that cited the new moon. So we see that a singular witness is acceptable. The Gemara answers, there are two answers. Amri, Reb Nohoroi, Sado Achrino Have Bahadei. As far as the story involving Reb Nohoroi, there was another witness along with him. There were two witnesses. Fahado Lo Choshivle, and that he was not mentioned in the story in this source, Mishum Kvoidoi Shel Reb Nohoroi. It's a form of it's done out of honor to Rabbi Nohoroi. Rashi explains a little more about on this point. The Rashi you see at the beginning of the narrow lines. Mishum kvodo de Rabbi Nohoroi, sharei lo huska Rabbi Nohoroi, elo lumoid mimenu. Rabbi Nohoroi was mentioned here only for the following: to learn from him. Shadom gadol kamoso, a great man like Rabbi Nohoroi, nohag heter badovar, who he was matir, in other words, he violated Shabbos for this purpose of serving as character witness. The ein kvoidoi shenovi es rayosenu af mechaver hakotan mimenu. It's not, it wouldn't be an honor to him, wouldn't be dignified to bring proof to these halachas from someone lesser than him. We continue in the Gemara. Rav Ashi Omar, Rav Ashi also, he comes to explain the incident with Rav Nohoroi, and also to the same goal that we're not talking about a singular witness. Rav Ashi explains, Rav Nohoroi sado achrino have beusha. Rav Nohoroi, let's not forget, he went to Usha. But in Usha, there was already another person who recognized the lunar witness as being trustworthy. The Ozal Rav Nohoroi, let's Tarufe Bahadei, and Rav Nohoroi went to join up with the other fellow who was already in Usha. More asks, Ihochi Maila Memra. If that's the case, what's the purpose in even teaching the incident? What is there for us to learn from that? All that is being said there is you have two witnesses that are going to serve as a character witness, as a pair of character witnesses for the witness that saw the new face. What's the chiddush? The Gemara answers, Mahu detemo. One might have thought, without seeing this source, Misfeka lo mechalinon shabbata. When there's an element of doubt, in other words, Rav Nohoroi didn't know for sure 100% that there was someone there in Usha waiting for him to join up with him. So maybe the witness isn't at home, and Rav Nohoroi won't find him. So when there's an element of doubt, maybe we wouldn't allow Shabbos violation. Kamash Malon, therefore the story involving Rav Nohoroi coming from out of town, even though there was that element of doubt that the other witness that would join with Rav Nohoroi, maybe he wasn't there, that didn't stop Rav Nohoroi from going to Usha in violation of Shabbos anyway. Ki osa ula omar kitshua liyarcha b'marova. When Ula came to Bavel, he told the people there that they that the new month had been declared in Eretz Yisrael. Marova is Eretz Yisrael. Omar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana observes, Lo mi bayo ula de gavra rabahu de mehemon. I don't have to tell you about the acceptance of Ula, who's a great man and is trustworthy. Even a commoner would be believed with this information. My time, why? Why do you grant believability, trustworthiness to just anybody? Answer. Kol milsa de avida ligliye. Any matter that will become public knowledge. Aglu means become exposed. Lo mishakri ba inshi. People will not lie about it. They knew that they'll end up looking really bad if they lie about something that will become well known. And as far as when a new month was established, is that kind of information. Information that will become well known. So, therefore, anyone who comes to tell you, you can rely on him. Tanya Nami Hochi, and a source that supports this. Bo echad misoif ha'olam v'omrar kitshu beizdin es ha'chidesh ne'emon. If someone comes from the end of the world, from far away, and I don't know who he is, and he comes and tells me that the beizdin established the new month on time, so we believe what he says. So that information regarding information that's conveyed by any traveler as to when Beis Din established the new month, we rely on what they say. Borishona hoyu mekablim edus hachidish mikol adam, and the Mishnah went on to say mishikilkulu habaitusim v'chule. Then we didn't trust just anyone anymore, and rather we had to either know the person who is telling us about the new phase, or character witnesses that would verify his trustworthiness. Tanu Rabbanan. Here we have a Tanaic source, and you'll note this is a long source. It goes right up to the next Mishnah. Ma kilkulu habaitusim. What's the mess up that the baitusim, we mentioned before, the baitusim was an example of a breakaway group of people. There's more to them than we're going to deal with right now, but they became, doubters, scoffers of traditional Judaism. So they messed things up for us. What was their mess up? In other words, when we say they messed things up for us, originally we would accept anyone who tells us about the establishment of the new month. But as a result of the baitusim, no longer such. What's the story? Pamachas bikshu baitusim lahatois es chachomim. The baitusim wanted to trick the chachomim. In other words, they wanted to testify about the molad, the new lunar phase, ushering in the month of Nisan, as having taken place on a Shabbos. A Shabbos being, we'll just say, the 30th day of Adar, and they wanted in the worst way for that 30th of Adar, which was a Shabbos, to be declared a new month, the month of Nisan. And what benefit did the Paitusim have in that? So this requires a little calculation. If the first of the month is, first of Tish of Nisan comes out on a Shabbos, Pesach, which is the 15th of the month, will also be a Shabbos. The 16th will be a Sunday. What's unique about the 16th of Nisan? That is the day on which the Omer offering, it's a meal offering, a barley meal offering, a grain offering, that was done in the Beis HaMikdash. And the pasuk in the Torah that describes that Omer offering as far as the date is concerned, it says Mimochros HaShabbos. The Baitusim took that pasuk literally. Mimochros HaShabbos, from the day after the Sabbath. The seventh day of the week we call Shabbos. Traditional Judaism, which bases itself on Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral tradition, doesn't limit the pasuk to its literal reading, but Mimochros HaShabbos means the day after the first day of Pesach, regardless of what day of the week the first day of Pesach fell out on. But the Baitusim, because they adopted a literal reading of the Torah as part of their corruption of Judaism, they want Pesach to start on a Shabbos. And that they would be able to accomplish if they could have witnesses that would testify on this 30th of Adar, which was a Shabbos, that we saw the new moon. So what did they do? Sochru Shnei B'nei Adam Be'arba Me'azuz. They hired two people, paying the both of them 400 zuz, we could say 200 zuz apiece. Echad mishalanu ve'echad mishalahem. Now the two fellows that they hired, that they were basically paying them off to go testify that they saw the new face when they didn't. The two witnesses, one of them was one of our own men. He was one of our men that got on the inside, and one of them, one of the Baitusim. Shelohem heyed eduso viyotza. So, their guy said his testimony. I saw the new phase on the 30th of Adar, which was on Shabbos, and therefore you should declare it a new month of Nisan. Shelonu Omrulo Emor Ketzer Risa Savona, and our man, this is of course the, we call him the Frum Yid, the Torah Shulchan Aruch man, our man, was then asked, well, what did you see? How did you see the moon? Omer Lahem, and now he goes and he tells the court a fanciful story. He says, Omer Lahem, Oyle Hoyisi B'mala Adumim. Mala Adumim is the name of a place. And he says, I was going up, it was an issue of a mountainous and valley area. So as I was rising up there, V'ra'isiv, and I saw the new moon, Shehu Ravutz Bein Shnei Sloyim. It was crouching between two stones. Rosho Domeli Egel, it had the head of a calf. Oznov Doimin Lidi, it had the ears of a goat. Karnov Doimis Litzvi, it had the antlers of a deer. Uznovoi Munachas Loi Bein Yerechosov, and its tail was between its legs. Vitzatzdibo, and I glanced at it, Venir Tati Venofalti Lofar, and I got shocked and I fell backwards. Vim Ein Atem Aminim Li, and if you don't believe me, Hare Mosayim Zuz Tsurin Li Besodini. Well, I've got 200 zuz tied up in my pouch. Amrulo, mi hiskik cholakach. So the court heard this very odd testimony and said, who put you up to this? Omar lohem. So our man answers, shamati, well, I heard, shebikshu baitusim lahatis es chachomim, that the baitusim wanted to trick the sages. Almarti, so I figured, Eilech ani v'odia lohem, I'm going to go and let it be known that's what they're up to. Shemo yavo b'nei odom she'enam mehugonim v'yatu es chachomim. Better that I should go than have some unfit people, improper, enam mehugonim means improper individuals, go and trick you. Omru lo, so the Chachomim, the court said to him, the fine witness, our man, he said, the court says, Mosayim zuz nesunim loch b'matona, the 200 zuz that you received from them to trick us, we declare the money to be yours, keep the money, v'haso chorcha yimtach al omud, and he who hired you, put you up to this, shall be stretched out on a pole for being lashed. At that point, they established that we can't accept new lunar phase testimony from anyone other than whom we recognize to be trustworthy. So this is the story that serves as the basis of our Mishnah, whereas at one point in time, originally, we would accept testimony about the new phase from any two witnesses that would come in and say they saw the new lunar phase. But from this incident onwards, we're not accepting just anybody. We'll accept testimony only from those that we know to be trustworthy. So up to this point, we were dealing with the initial testimony of the witnesses that saw the new lunar phase. Now, this Mishnah deals with the promulgation of that information, of the establishment of the new lunar month. How did this information get out? And after all, the testimony took place in the court, and for most of the years, the court sat in Jerusalem. How would people in outlying areas know when the new month was declared? For Rishona hoyu masian masuos. Originally, they would light bonfires. Maybe that's not totally accurate, but there would be the use of fires and torches in order to let the information be known. There was no need for emissaries to be sent out. The torches were quite effective, and we'll see how that worked shortly. Mishakilklu hakusim, kusim, another questionable group of people that they joined the ranks of the Jewish people, but with a very questionable form of conversion, and as time went on, they were proven to be unfaithful, to put things mildly. So when the Kusim came along and messed things up, Hiskinu Shushluchim Yotzim, they established that we're not going to be able to rely on the fires and the torches anymore, but we're going to need agents, emissaries, to go out let the information be known. Ketzad Hoyu Masiyim Masuos. So here the Mishnah is interested in knowing what was originally done with regard to the torches. So how was that done? Mevi'in klunsois shel erez arukim. They would bring poles from made of erez. Erez is a type of wood, long erez poles. V'konim v'atzei shemen u'ne'uruz shel pishton. Along with that, these long poles, they would bring reeds and atzei shemen is maybe it's olive wood possibly, and it's wood from literally oil wood, and nurus shel pishton is when you're beating the flax plant, there's debris that flies out from it, and that is called the nurus. These are highly flammable substances, so they serve as the fuel. The korech b'meshicha. Meshicha is a type of cord, a string. These materials, the konim atzei shemen u'shel pishton, were tied together onto the long erez poles. V'oilu l'roish ha'har, and the person in charge would go to the top of the mountain. And we'll see the first mountain was called Har HaMashcha. It was the Mount of Olives that was right next to Jerusalem. He would go to the top of the mountain, Umatzis Bohen Es Ha'ur, and he would light the torches, Umoyluch Umevi Umale Umoyrid. He would move the torch, of course this is all at night, he would move the torch back and forth, up and down, Ad Shuroya Es Chavero Shu'oisikein Barosh Shohar Hasheni. Well, from the top of one mountain, he would be visible by someone standing at the top of a second mountain in the distance toward Bavel. V'chein Barosh Shohar Hashlishi. So that after the person on the second mountain saw the signal, he would light his torch and signal it in the direction of a person who was on the third mountain. U'me'ayin hoyu masiyin masuos. What were the names of the mountains that, in fact, this torch waving took place? So now the Mishnah lists a number of mountains. Mehar Hamashka leSartava, uMeSartava leGrupina, uMeGrupina leChavron, uMeChavron leBeis Biltin, uMeBeis Biltin lo Zozu Misham, and from that last mountain called Beis Biltin, they didn't move from there. Ad Ela Moiluch uMevi, uMalu uMoirid ad Shehoya Roye kol Hagoyla leFanov kMeduras Eish. From that point, it seems from the Mishnah that there was then a big, let's say, descent, a large plain, a plateau, a flat area, where from the top of that mountain, he would notice then lots of fires being lit in the distance. And at that point then, the information traveled a long distance and got to where it needs to go. My mashma de masin Lishna de Ikud Hu. In our Mishnah, we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can just scan up to the arrow before, and you see the Mishnah said, Borishanu Masiyan Masuos. So Masiyan has to do with burning, the burning of torches. So where do we see that the word Masiyan, Lishna de Ikud, Ikud means burning, Hu? Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Vayisoeim David v'anoshov, umetargaminon v'okdinon David. The Pasuk uses in the Hebrew Vayisoeim, and the Targum, the Aramaic rendering of that Pasuk, of that word Vayisoeim, is v'okdinon. Okdinon is known to mean the lighting of a fire. So David in that Pasuk is described as having burnt the items. Tonu Rabbonon. Before we continue in the Gemara itself, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading. Ein Masiyan Masuos Ela Al HaChodesh Shenira Bezmano. Our Gemara will say that this original torch waving procedure took place only on the night following a new month that was declared on day 30. Now, if a new month is declared on day 30, so the previous month is called Choser, a 29-day month leading up to day 30, which was converted by virtue of the testimony of the witnesses into day 1 of the new month. The sighting of the new lunar phase on day 30 is referred to as seeing it on its right time, on its expected time. So the Gemara will tell us that only on the occasion of a Rosh Chodesh being established on day 30, which, as we said before, that turns it into day 1 of the new month, only then would there be a torch waving. What remains, of course, is that if you have a month going by, you reach day 29 and day 30, and the night following day 30, you don't see any torch waving, so people will then conclude that it's an extended month. It's not the previous month was not a 29-day month, but rather it was a 30-day month, making day 31 the first day of the new month. The Gemara. Tonu Rabbonon. Ein Masiyan Masuos Elo Al HaChodesh Shenira Bezmanoi L'Kadshoi. The burning of the torches was not done other than for a month that was sanctified on its right time, which we've been referring to as on day 30. The Amosai Masiyan, and so, and when are the torches waved? When are they ignited? Le'or Iburo. Or Iburo means the night of the Ibor. The Ibor is literally, it has to do with the extension day. What is the extension day of a month? Day 31. Day 31 is called the Or Iburo because what we mean by that is that when there was no testimony about the new phase on day 30. So then day 30 is the extended day of the previous month. Day 31 being the first day of the new month. Rashi, the last narrow line under the Gemara, you can see the Ori Buro. Le'erev yoim shloishim nagi shloishim ve'echad. The night or the evening after day 30 leading into day 31. Yoim shloishim kori yom iburo. The 30th is called yom iburo. Kiramim li'el al shnei ador mishkatshin oisam b'yom iburem v'al shem shemimenu ma'abri mesachidesh hayoytse kori yom ibur. Why is day 30 called the yom ibur? It's because ibur has to do with something that's extended. For example, the word for pregnancy is ibur as well, where the woman's belly is extended. So that a month is extended when we say that day 30 remains part of the previous month. So Ori Buro is the night following day 30. The Gemara now continues. Lameimra de achoser avdinon amole lo avdinon. So this is telling us that the torch waving was done for a month, was done for issuing, ushering in a new month that followed a 29-day month. Choser means missing, meaning it's a short month, a 29-day month. Upon the departure of a 29-day month, when you're ushering in the new month, then we did the waving. Amole lo avdina. There was no torch waving if a month had been extended by a day, thereby ushering in the new month on what we call before as day 31. My time off. Why? Why was torch waving done in announcing a new month following a choser? Omer Bizera, Gzera Mishum Rosh Chodesh Shechal Liyos Be'erev Shabbos. We want to keep things as they are in anticipation of this situation of a Rosh Chodesh that comes out on a Friday. Let's say, day 30, which happened to be a Friday, and witnesses testified about their having seen the new phase, that Friday becomes day 1. Amos Avdi, when would the torch waving take place? Bapuki Shabbato, it would take place not on Friday night. There's no heter for announcing a new month through torch waving and violate Shabbos for that purpose. We've spoken in the past about the initial witnessing of the new phase and they're coming to court through Shabbos violation, that's okay. But as far as promulgation of information that the new month had been declared, for that you cannot violate Shabbos. So in a case where a new month started on Friday, when will there be torch waving to announce that a new month had been ushered in? The torch waving would have to wait till Saturday night. Now, before we go further, now that we've established that only for short months, or only as a result of short months, of 29-day months, is torch waving going to take place, so even if it doesn't take place on the night after day 30, which was the normal practice, it'll take place Saturday night, but people will know that the fact that they see a torch waving, it indicates that the previous month was a 29-day month. They will make no mistake. Ve'i amris navid nami amole. However, if you're going to say that they should have torch wavings for all kinds of months, whether they're choser or mole, Asu, we continue at the top of Chof Gimel Amad Aleph, Lemiti. They're going to come to make a mistake. Once again, given this situation of Friday being Rosh Chodesh, being the first of the month, and if you're going to allow or provide for torch waving for Mole and Chaser months in this situation, what are people out there going to think? Amri, they're going to be in doubt. Hi, Chaser Hu. On the one hand, they might think that the previous month was in fact a 29-day month. V'hai delo ovid me'esmol, and the fact that they didn't do the torch waving Friday night, mishum delo efshar, because it's impossible, it's Shabbos. Oy dilma, or maybe molehu. Really, the previous month was a 30-day month. The 30th day being on Friday. So if that was a 30-day month, so when was the new month? The new month starts on Shabbos itself. Ubizmano avdu. And the torch waving on Saturday night is in fact the first opportunity for them to wave the torch. So you could see that if we didn't have a solid rule that only for Chaser months would there be torch waving, in a case that Rosh Chodesh comes out on a Friday, you're going to be leaving people with this doubt. As we go on in the Gemara, you can see we have a new marking, a house marking, and on the side, under the Mivneh heading, we indicate Hatzois Chilufiois. These are alternative suggestions. Umash Onu Noegim Lohdia Bimasuos Rak Al Chodesh Shinira Bezmano. Alternatives to that which we said, that torches are used only for months that are declared new months on day 30. The Gemara. So Levid, why not have torch waving? Bein Amole, Bein Achoser. For both kinds of situations, whether the previous month was a 30-day month, or the previous month was a 29-day month, the Chimikla Rosh Chodesh Be'erev Shabbos, and in the event that Rosh Chodesh comes out on a Friday, which means where day 30 is the day that witnesses testified that they saw the moon on time, making Friday the first of the new month, so that when that happens, lo lavid klal, let them not have any torch waving. But keva de lo avdinon moitzoi Shabbos, and since the masses see no torch even Saturday night, Shabbos being day 31, and they don't see any torches, the avdinon amole, and in general we would have done it on a mole, may the yadi, people will know the chosirhu, they will know that it is the reason for not seeing any torches, that the previous month was in fact a 29-day month, day 30 being Friday, being the first of the new month, and they will not make any mistake. So once again, according to this suggestion, you could have torch waving for full months, for chaser months, and in the event that Rosh Chodesh is declared on a Friday, in that case, no torch waving whatsoever. And people will understand that they didn't see any torch waving even on Motzoi Shabbos. Motzoi Shabbos, had it been a mole, so Shabbos itself would have been day one. Motzoi Shabbos would have been a time perfectly suitable for a torch waving. No torch waving, that would show conclusively that it was not a mole month. The Gemara says, no, we can't do this. Afilu hochi, osu lemiti. Even so, people will make a mistake. Amri, people will think, hi, mole who? That really, In that case, it was a mulei, and that Rosh Chodesh was on Shabbos itself. The high delo avdi, and the fact that there was no torch waving on Saturday night, snusi who the snusi loshen oynes. The people who were in charge of torch waving, they got drunk on Shabbos and they fell asleep and they didn't do their job Saturday night. So that we can't accept this, the most recent suggestion of the what we saw in the third line from the top of having torch wavings on moles and chosers, and just in the case of Rosh Chodesh coming out on Shabbat on Friday, so let's have no torch waving whatsoever. Question: V'levet amole v'levet achoser klal. Why not switch things around? Have torch wavings only following a mole month, and not following a chaser. Why have we chosen the other way around? We've chosen to have the torch waving signal that the previous month was only 29 days. So Amar Abaye, Abaye answers, you want to know why we don't have it for, we don't do this, have the torch waving only for moles? Mishum bitul melocha la'am shnei yomim. Imagine this case, the case where you're at the toward the end of Elul. So you're counting toward the end of Elul. Elul, of course, is the last month before Rosh Hashanah. So you reach day 29, and then day 30. Now, if you're going to say there's no torch waving, after day 29, by the way, after day 29, the next day is day 30. That could be, for people that are far away, they don't know what happened in Yerushalayim. It could be that day 30 was really Rosh Hashanah. So, and Rosh Hashanah is a day that you can't do melacha. It's a holiday. You have to refrain from all melachas. So people are going to refrain automatically on day 30. If you're going to follow this most recent suggestion, the night following day 30, there's not going to be any torch waving, because you suggest to do it only for a mole. And if day 30, in fact, is day 1, so the previous month was only 29 days. So you're not going to do it on the night following day 30. Day 30, they had to observe at Be'isr Melocha. Maybe it was the first day of Rosh Hashanah. However, maybe the previous month was extended. Elul was extended. So that the day I observed as Rosh Hashanah really isn't Rosh Hashanah, and the next day is Rosh Hashanah. So they're going to keep a second day, and only after the second day, then they'll see a torch waving. They'll see a torch waving if, in fact, the month of Elul had been extended by a day. But setting up a situation like that, you're forcing people to always keep 2 days of Isser Malacha. So what do we say? We say no. We'll do the torch waving only on Chosers. So in that very same situation, after day 29, people will anticipate that day 30 might very well be Rosh Hashanah. They'll observe that as Isser Malacha. And at night, there's a chance that they'll see a torch waving. And if they see a torch waving, they will know that the first day of the new month has passed, and they celebrated Rosh Hashanah as they're supposed to, and the next day they can go to work. Not having, and now if in effect in Yerushalayim they had extended the month, so then on that night they won't see the torch, and they'll know that they have to observe the entire next day as well as the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. But with that setup, though, you'll enable people in many years, if not most years, to observe only one day of Rosh Hashanah, there having found out immediately after the first day, indicating that the previous month was a chaser. Before we conclude, let us remind you that we can be reached, especially in the interest of accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.